Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 7, which is dealing with enemy territory. The objectives of this are, upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verses from memory. You're going to be able to define what is meant by the world, the word world, as it is used in this lesson. You're going to be able to identify the prince of the world. You're going to be explain the reason for the current world system. You're going to be able to describe the attitude of the world towards believers. You'll be able to define what it is meant by the word flesh, as it is used in this lesson. You're going to be able to explain what it is meant by the lust of the flesh. You'll be able to explain how lust develops and explain the results of unconquered lust. You'll also be able to identify the scripture references which list the works of the flesh. Our key verse today is going to be found in 1 John 5:2, 15 through 16, which says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not with the Father, but of the world." Introduction. There's only one enemy, but as you and I have learned in previous lessons, he works through a mighty force of demons. And as the key verse of this chapter reveals, Satan not only uses demons, but he also works through the key forces of the flesh and the world. We find in 1 Timothy again, 2:15 through 16, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." So the purpose of this chapter is to identify and discuss the enemy forces of evil known as the world and the flesh. Beware, you are entering into a hostile grounds, because the world and the flesh are enemy territory. Part 1, the world. The word world has different meanings in Scripture. It can mean the earth or universe in a physical order, and it is used to refer to Gentiles, which are all nations other than the Jewish nation. But the word world also is used to refer to a present condition of human affairs in opposition to God. It is the system that runs the inhabited earth, a system that's opposed to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a meaning, and is this meaning that is used in this lesson. The world is the corporate group of flesh-centered individuals who make up the human race. Flesh is, in this context, is not referring to the actual flesh of your body. It is the term which describes the basic evil human nature of man, which is in a willful rebellion against God. As your enemy, the world is organized system of social, economic, materialistic, and religious philosophies, which have their expression through organizations, personalities, and governments. It is not a specific government, organization, or person, but the worldly system upon which they are based. The world system is an extension of man's fleshiness. It provides an atmosphere, environment, and system which promotes fleshly sins, and it surrounds man that which appeals to his fleshly desires. The prince of the world. Satan is the prince of the world, or ruler of the world system. And John 12:31 says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And in John 14:30 it says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Satan is also called the god of this world. We find that in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not." The kingdoms of this world are presently influenced by Satan, and they are guided by satanic philosophies and principles, and they are flesh-centered and flesh-governed. We find that in Matthew 4:8-9. It says, "And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things I will give thee if thou shalt fall down and worship me." So someday they will become the kingdoms of our Lord. Revelation 11:15. It says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So the reason for the conditions of this world are found in Genesis 1:3. Sin is the reason for the present condition of this world. When Adam and Eve were originally created by God, they were given dominion over the world. This meant that they had control over the world to guide its systems, its inhabitants, according to the plan of God. When they sinned against God, they lost that dominion. When Jesus was crucified for the sins of all mankind and resurrected from the dead, he reclaimed the world, and he pronounced judgment on the spiritual forces of evil. In Colossians 2:15, it says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." So although Jesus reclaimed the world from the power of the enemy, Satan does not yet acknowledge that claim. Satan is still at work in the world with his evil powers. Satan will not acknowledge the claims of Jesus over the kingdoms of this world until the final conflict, which you will study about in the last chapter of this course. The present situation is similar to military conditions that often occur in the natural world. A political or military power will take control of a nation, but their claims will not be acknowledged by rebel troops within the nation. The rebel troops continue to war throughout the country. They try to take possession of a territory not rightfully theirs and overpower the citizens. They often use tactics of terror to accomplish their purposes. So the situation in the spirit world is really similar. Jesus reclaimed dominion over the world, the enemy, and his evil forces. But the rebel troops of Satan still war throughout the world. They tried to take possession of the territory not rightfully theirs, and they influence men and women for evil. This battle, which is our spiritual warfare, will continue until the final conflict. The structure of the world. The world structure is in direct opposition to God, his plan, purposes, and people. The evil world system. The present world system is evil. According to Galatians 1:4, it says, "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." The world system is without God, according to Ephesians 2:12, having no hope and without God in the world. And there's much deception in the world to ensnare believers to become part of the world system. For many deceivers are entered into the world. 2 John 7. The world is already judged and under condemnation, according to 1 Corinthians 11:32. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. The elements of the world. The elements of the world refer to elementary principles that govern the world. They lead to spiritual bondage. Galatians 4:3 says, "Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world." The rudiments of war, the world. These are the regulations of which the world structure rests. They are different from the principles which God structures in his kingdom. Colossians 2:8-20 says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?" And the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God." The philosophy of the world. Philosophies are principles of knowledge. Worldly philosophies are not based on Christ. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." The wisdom of the world. Worldly wisdom is not God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." The course of this world. The course of the world is the cycle of the present world, its routine, the way in which it operates. Ephesians 2:2 says, "Wherefore, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience." The voices of the world. The many voices of the world are contrary to the voice of God. 1 Corinthians 14:10 says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices of the world, and none of them is without signification. The peace of the world. The peace of the world is temporary, fragile, and sometimes deceptive. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your heart be troubled, not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The sorrow of the world. Godly sorrow differs from that of the world. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." The attitude of the world. The world hates God. James 4:4, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world will be an enemy of God." The world hates believers. John 15:18-19 says, "And if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Since the world is made up of flesh-centered individuals who hate believers, we need to learn more about the powerful forces called the flesh. Part 2, the flesh. The world is an evil social force for Satan that works from outside to attack believers. It is the corporate organization of fleshly individuals. The flesh is an evil force working from within the believer. The same fleshly spirit that operates in the world will operate in your life if you allow it to do so. The word flesh, also used in Scripture, can refer to the actual body of man and beast, but this is not what we're talking about when we say the word flesh in this lesson. The Bible also uses the word flesh to describe a basic sin nature of man. The flesh is the center of the willful defiance and a rebellion against God. And we find that in Romans 8:18-20. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will to do good is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is more that I do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me." So the flesh is a compulsive inner force which expresses itself in rebellion through sin, and it is this meaning of flesh which is used in this lesson. The word carnal and old nature are also used to describe fleshly nature of man. All men have this basic sinful fleshly nature. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed unto all men, so that all have sinned." For all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So what is the lust of the flesh? First, let us define the word lust. Lust is a strong desire, soulish emotions, and a natural tendency of man towards evil. The Bible warns that we should not lust after evil things. 1 Corinthians 10:6 says, "Now these things which were our examples, to the extent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Lusting after evil things which will please your fleshly nature is the lust of the flesh, and it's how Satan attacks from within. It is like a civil war within a nation, with your spirit and flesh warring against each other. How lust develops. Lust or sinful nature first develops through the natural senses. The eye sees something evil, or it hears, the ear hears something wicked, a touch, a taste, even a smell can even foster lust. And this is how Satan uses the environment of the world to tempt the flesh. These natural senses trigger an evil thought or desire in the mind. This is lust, and the lustful thought is what tempts you to do evil. James 1:13-14 says this, "Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away with his own lust and enticed." So remember, God never tempts you. You are tempted when you're drawn by your own sinful fleshly lusts. But you do not have to yield to this temptation because God always provides a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, "There hath no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So since the mind is used to tempt the flesh, Paul warns this in Romans 8:7-8. "For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So you're going to learn a lot later about the mind and one of the main battlefields of the spiritual warfare. The results of lust. If you yield to lust, temptation results, and if you yield to temptation, it results in sin, which leads to death. James 1:15. "Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The world is corrupt because of lust. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust." Your flesh is corrupt because of lust. Ephesians 4:22, it says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts." The relationship of the spirit to the flesh. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So when you were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit indwells your spirit. The Holy Spirit in your spirit opposes the lust of the flesh. Your flesh wars against your spirit and the Spirit of God within you. The flesh entices you to evil lust. This is why you often cannot live the way you desire to live. Paul described this battle between the spirit and flesh in Romans chapter 7. He says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man or the spirit, but I see another law in my members, the flesh, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." So the works of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is not conquered, leads to sinful works of the flesh, which will result in spiritual death. In Galatians 5:19-21, it says, "And now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before and have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So this lust can be divided into basically four categories. First off, you have worship-type sins, which would be idolatry and witchcraft. Then you have sexual sins, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Then we have personal sins, which are drunkenness and revelings. And then we have relationship sins, which are hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, and seditions, envyings, and murders. So each of these sinful works defined in detail in the Harvest Time International course, which is called the Ministry of the Holy Spirit. These are contrasted to the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which should be developed in the lives of believers. Powerful evil forces, the world and the flesh combined with Satan and his demons to war against believers. These are the spiritual forces of evil. The following lessons, you're going to be able to learn the strategies of spiritual warfare. So go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.